on the next picture. Obviously, with the case of, I don't know whether it's allowable to mention namesakes, whether it's proper here, but the candidate, person who was involved, the issue was dealt with. Our CEO and the CEO of Cricket South Africa dealt with the matter after they had followed the procedures to deal with the... But yesterday, as late as yesterday, our minister met with the representatives from Cricket because we are now looking at the fallout of that incident, whether there were other people who were involved. So as far as that is concerned, it is now under control. I'm sure when the minister deals, talks to you, he will give you feedback. I can't speak on his behalf, but yesterday at Suffolk House, in our boardroom, Cricket met with the minister, and the content of their discussion is unknown. All I can say is that the CEO afterwards, CEO of Cricket, said they dealt with the match fixing issue, and they were also dealing with the issue of transformation. Transformation remains a tough nut. I cannot stand here and say that we're on top of transformation. Cannot. Until such time that you can go into a school and identify the talent and take it right through, you have no chance of actually saying that you're on top of transformation. But we have not given up. You are, remember that the EPG, Eminence People, Person Group, with Dr. Fikeni Matot, my daughter Fiki, I never know which is the name. I never know which is the name and which is the surname, but the two of them are there. Fikeni Matot, my daughter Fiki. Yeah. Okay. Matot, Professor, Dr. Matot, Professor Matot. So he's really, really driving this, assisted, of course, by Dr. Vilibasson. So the interaction has happened with all the top five. And each of them have presented to the minister the way forward. That in rugby, we will do this and this and this. In cricket, for instance, in cricket, because I normally in close contact with Max Jordan, in cricket, for instance, they've got these hubs now going up there. And within those hubs, they're trying to get these cricket players going in there. So the process, I'm talking about the process. The process is well underway. And I think where we are now, the minister is saying that guys will work with the top five. If there are any other problems with these five, because if you look at SAFA, SAFA, I don't know if any member here from the Grahamstown region, if you go out there and you look at the work that SAFA is doing in development in that part of the world, it's amazing. Dr. Peterson goes around the country working on these programs in the various areas. So given what they've got in terms of resources, given what they've got in terms of manpower, these federations are trying their very, very best. Rugby, we know, it's a huge thing in rugby. They take it from very low level and they try, but the issue will always remain, how strong are our provincial structures to carry what rugby at the national level is bringing to them. So if in a national, in the provincial federation there are challenges in terms of funding, it's always going to be a problem. So I can only say, Madam Chair, that where we are now, we are moving in a direction where our federations begin to understand that we are not going to compromise when it comes to transformation. It must happen. And I'm happy to report, Madam Chair, that your own sport in netball is going big now in KwaZulu-Natal. I got a report from President Mimi Mteko that now they are now going big, and when we launch the Brutal Fruit on the early March, it will become evident as to the work that netball is doing. And just to show that there are people who appreciate the development in netball, I got a call from the island of Maldives, at a very, very romantic island. And the island of Madeira, we have looked at your development program of netball. On our island, the majority of women play netball. Can you send us a coach? That's something big for our country and for netball as such. Zara says, go right through this whole thing, but I'm saying that I'm highlighting so that I can take the questions quickly so that people can deal with it. But I do believe that the next issue is that I want to deal with is just some of our where transformation and some of these issues are giving problems. When you have a federation, and in the federation you're trying to push as much as you can, especially those outside the fight, because where we are going to now is we're going to the next level. And so hockey and all the others will come into the reckoning. So those are going to be dealt with in a similar fashion. They have to come to the minister and say, we promise you ABC, and the EPG will judge them on ABC. Madam Chair, I want to give you finally just an update. Update on some of our federations. I don't know whether you are aware, but we've had some problems with karate. Karate is one of those federations where there are too many styles. It's contact, it's non-contact, it's... What is that third one? Traditional. Traditional. And then there is another one. So, over the years, in the days of the National Sports Council, full contact was a member. I don't know how it happened in the years, intervening years, but it ended up with KSA, Karate South Africa. So they are the members now. So we have been pleading with Karate South Africa, can you make accommodation for full contact? Because it's becoming a bit political now. Full contact is mainly majority black and more than semi-contact. So they are claiming that how can we not be members of SASCO when the minority is members? So the board took a decision to resolve that after many ups and downs, mediation, which cost both of us money, karate and SASCO, unnecessary, but that's democracy in this country. If you're not happy with my outcome, with my decision, you run to the courts and you go for mediation. But we have now taken a decision as the board that we will go to our council meeting on the 9th of April and we will put to them and say, please, can we have a special category of membership so that we accommodate full contact and semi-contact and traditional when they come to the party. What that will help us with is that we will then give them a period of time where we say, can't we have a coordinating structure at the top which will have an arm for contact and an arm for semi-contact? We have it in Master. Martial Arts South Africa is all the jiu-jitsu and you name it. But we have this body at the top and that body is a member of SASCO. So when you hear anything about karate, that is what we are trying to do. Then there is a sport called Mayan sport. It's a very difficult sport. In the sense that we are never sure as to what exactly it is, but they've got a very strong proponent with Rise Mind Sport. At some point, when we're reviewing whether our federations are really federations, Mind Sport fell short. And we said to them, yeah, but we're not even in the provinces. So we said to the provinces, as I explained to you earlier on, please can you check what is Mind Sport? So they have, so far one province has responded to say, there is no Mind Sport in my province. Now it for me it can't be right, because you know draft is part of that thing, and all this, what it plays, it's part of it. So what we are saying to Mind Sport, until such time that we hear from our provinces how strong Mind Sport is in the provinces, we will be unable to bring them back into the fold. That's the last. Yeah, I must put on my specs now. Rugby. Well, you are aware of where we are now with rugby. I think Madam Chair referred to it earlier on that it's some processes happening. I can say to you now that the SASCO, we have not been approached by our member. What we have is what we read in the papers. And normally we don't go with that. We want the member to come to us and say, this is what you have read in the paper. Yes, it is true. Yes, we are doing this. Yes or no, we are not doing that. So until such time that the rabbi comes to us and tell us exactly what is happening, playing itself out in the media, we are unable to really say what's going on. That concludes our, Madam Chair, that concludes our presentation.
Thank you, Honorable President. Except that I'm going to give members, once I'm not happy about this presentation, as they are saying that was signed the MOU 2015 April. Maybe what I would love to say, as this committee, we need to have updates, maybe quarterly, because as we're sitting here, we had a minister announcing an analysis of a transformation barometer. But I was thinking that maybe, as USA spoke, we come with the steps and trying to convince us that they have started to implement this MOU and these are not yet even started. So let me put that comment, that as we're sitting here as this committee, every day we're talking about transformation, and when we put this in the agenda, we're thinking that when we are coming here, we will come with a specific head saying that after MO was signed in 2015 April, so far we have noticed that these, out of these things, they've done ABC. We know what barometers that UNISA has put, but as a committee, we're feeling that 21 years down the line, the transformation, and according to the MOU, we don't see it. So let me put that up front. Honorable members, that's your chance. No, can you respond when the members are here? Honorable Malazan, Honorable Government, Honorable Garhom, Honorable Du.
Thanks, sir. I mean, I wasn't going to raise this issue until it was in the presentation. But I just want to find out from the president in terms of their own internal approach with regards to instances like this about this federation, the South African Rugby Union. That, I mean, is it always the case that, you know, when there are major issues like that, their approach is to wait upon the federation to make the best, you know, contact with SASCO vis-a-vis, and also just to also engage that, because that also represents its own limitations, if that would be the case, because, you know, SASCO as the kind of like overall oversight on federations, you know, in instances of, for argument's sake, national importance like that, I don't think, you know, it is to SASCO's disadvantage not to initiate its own proactive steps, and one wonders why, I mean, in this case that has been the case. And also just precedent, because it has its own weaknesses of, you know, establishing a precedent, because and this is without expressing an opinion on the merits or demerits of what the issue is, but that reliance entirely on a federation that is engulfed in its own challenges to make its approach is perhaps overestimating good faith on the part of them, you know, and where it's as conflicted as it is now, perhaps it is more useful for society's own assessment of whether there is room for that. Because what is also key in terms of leadership on these major issues is to see a pattern of consistency around in terms of, you know, major issues like that. You know, I don't want to dwell much into the past, but when there was the massive issue of allegations of match fixing in football, you know, the process, even though it wasn't entirely different, the process was proactive because there was a document then supplied, you know, in its own mysterious way to SASPOC's offices. But my argument is that in situations like this, you know, it is not self-defeating for SASPOC to be proactive in terms of resolving or in fact, not even resolving, in terms of intervening to establish what is the status quo, because as a matter of Borneo's sports, you know, to have an audience like this and also be in the dark about what is happening in there just doesn't look, it's not in the best interest of the sports per se, especially with this union that has its own challenges on other matters, you know, transformation being one of them, and all of these, you know, become interrelated because know, governance issues, you know, interrelate into other things, and that's something that SASPOC on its own can reconsider, because what we need, regardless of what the federation is to see a question that, you know, the approach is the same when it comes to methods of good governance, and that at least there's an attempt. Otherwise, we all wait being in the dark and not even sure how long that internal process, you know, will last. Then it goes into merits and demerits of that case that, you know, as individuals here, you know, we can't get into them, and would expect, you know, leaders outside of us who have the opportunity for that interaction to at least have an insight into the happenings, because on its own, it doesn't look like the union can sort itself out, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Just in terms of transformation, I do run the risk of repeating myself, the President. I think you've heard it from me before. I don't think anyone in this room is against transformation. I think we're all pro-transformation. I think we all agree that transformation needs to take place. I think how we arrive there is the problem. And I'm just worried that there's three things I think we've seen in the last few weeks, and you put the two durations that I talk about in terms of cricket and rugby up on the board there. I think it comes down to a leadership issue. That when it comes to transformation, which is a sensitive topic for many reasons, we require leadership from the leadership. So, you know, that's been the one time the administrators are actually called on to the field. They called on to provide leadership and support. And I think that's the one place where we can look at transformation now, straight away, instead of this funeral plan, the transformation policy that both cricket and rugby have introduced. We can look at something now that says our leadership in administration needs to be more empathetic to the situation at hand. I mean, if you look at cricket South Africa now, and a gifted player like Robede, who comes on as a person that is there on merit, or the Vernon Philander debacle that embarrassed us during the World Cup, these are players that are there on merit. They shouldn't have to get onto the field and face double pressure, the pressure of having to perform and then the pressure of having to prove that they are not a second type of class of player. And I think it's important that a few years down the line, we're still talking about our transformation barometer, that we make this mistake of causing two classes of player, which is terrible to the player, it's terrible to the game, and we as leaders have to provide that leadership and empathy to ensure that that doesn't happen. Another place where my chairperson and I have had the barriers to entry in certain sports. But all sports are equal except some sports are more equal than others. For instance, if you want to play hockey or if you want to play cricket, to get in as a person that was previously disadvantaged, regardless of race, previously disadvantaged in terms of money or whatever, to get the equipment is far different from being an athlete or being a soccer player where you can just arrive and you can play barefoot or with the better amount of equipment. We put it equalize in that regard. We've got to get people to play hockey, but we've got to be able to have the resources to fund them from our side or cricket or whatever the case may be, whatever the barriers of entry. And that transformation in terms of, people see the word transformation and they all of a sudden think of color. I want us to look at transformation as equalizing the playing fields across borders. It's not just about color. So that when players are not privy to enter into certain sports because they do not have the resources, how do we equalize that? But most of all, I mean, I'm looking now, and the chairman, chair lady, you mentioned it just now, the EP Kings. We're looking at a situation where players, we have a spotlighted team, a team where everyone's watching to see how is transformation affected, how is a project, a pilot project, been put into effect. Now, you look at the administration, both Saru and you look down, I mean, they've now put their mouth and their money behind supporting the EP Kings and the Southern Kings. But you're going to have a team running onto the field that have many issues befalling it before it even gets to kick the first ball. Players that can ruin any opportunity of having a career because they aren't getting paid, allegedly, or they have to, you know, some have already not even, can't even field a full team in terms of the squad size. They're fielding 37, I think, were reported today. Where's Sasslock and the EPG in terms of trying to support or show leadership to, you know, support? We always say that we don't want interference, we want support. But where are we in terms of trying to ensure that this doesn't become a sinking boat? You know, that we make sure that all factors affecting the EP Kings and the Southern Kings are dealt with decisively, and that the players are protected more than the administrators. And again, I close off by saying that I think when you have administrators that face match fixing or transformation holdups or World Cup embarrassments, we shouldn't be scared to act decisively with that administration. And I think it's up to Sasslock to maybe provide that push or shove to assist in terms of transformation, that where administrators are behaving badly, they're not left there to their own devices, because if you want to fix transformation, we do need to start at the top.
Bring EPG in terms of the barometer. What is it that they are looking for around the transformation? Because my worry is that increasingly it looks like we don't agree. We are not even moving on the same page. And my understanding really is that the EPG is a commission that will interact with the federations to make them to agree that this is what we are going to do within this period, and then ourselves, it means we must be in a position to can check these federations whether they are meeting what they have committed to do. So my case is that we might have to do that, because so far we know that 5 federations have signed. My understanding was that 11 more federations were supposed to have signed. So we need to get information in terms of how far are those 11. So that all together we can be in a position to can check what is it that we are monitoring, we are evaluating on the 15 federations. So my take really is that that is what we must do, even if it means on a quarterly basis or a 3-monthly basis, getting a report from the commission itself, because the EPG represents what the federations have agreed in their endeavor, that this is what we want, and this commission will assist us to achieve what we want, or to achieve on transformation. I'm moving on the basis that the transformation without addressing CARA, it don't be transformation. So for me, transformation must also deal with the question of representation of people that were previously disadvantaged. If it is not addressing that, we can call it transformation. And to a certain extent, even the scorecard. That is why the scorecard by EPG, among others, it also reflects on representation, but it is broader than only color alone. It will be wrong for me to all of a sudden say that is not going to be an important barometer for me. For me, color is key because it deals with access. A lot of disadvantaged people did not have access. And it also goes to hockey. Even if equipment is expensive, then it can be correct that therefore, because hockey equipment is expensive, therefore it must be played by people that have got money. To such an extent that they must come here in this committee and say, why don't we allow them to pay their way through to go and represent South Africa? It won't be correct because this transformation also deals with the question of the badge, the question of honor. When you say you are given a cap, that is what we say about nation building, creating a new society. So for me, you know, a bigger picture is what we want to see. That if we give an person a badge, a cap, that badge must really mean that this chap, this person, is passionate about South Africa. This person likes this country and he wants to be associated with all its problems and shortcomings. That person is prepared that this country represents me. You see, I want to ascend the committee to go deeper into what does the badge mean. Because we are losing it to a certain extent, even the question of the badge. Because the question of the badge, at the moment, it must be uniform. If the badge is represented by a frontier, it should be frontier. It can't be the badge, and then all of a sudden, certain rugby, you'll see that they put a jacket with a springboard. So there is a contradiction there. And it is something that when we talk about transformation, we need to begin showing that we interrogate these areas quite clearly. Because if in South Africa the badge is the frontier, the badge must apply across all sporting codes. We can't have a situation where in certain sporting codes, all of a sudden it's a springboard. It is sending different signals to the country. And it means our objective to achieve a new democratic society is being delayed further and further. So for me, transformation is about nation building. For me, transformation put into its simpler form, it means that the badge must be common. If it's Protea, then that badge, which is a Protea, must be common to all sporting codes. And what they are doing is about access. If that access, it means certain communities have an advantage of being rich because the leaders of apartheid ensured that they should end up living it easy, becoming rich, and therefore being in a position to can end up having money and being in a position to can afford certain things. We need to ensure that we level the play field. So for me, that is transformation. Nothing less. And that is what we need to judge in terms of calling frequently the commission, the EPG, to come and brief us. With regards to Sasquatch. Sasquatch is the controlling body. You must assist us to ensure that you become more strict in terms of your acceptance of membership to some of the federations that are not assisting us. And I saw that you showed the instances where you are saying this body is not representative. That is what I expect to get from SASCO, because all of these federations affiliate to you, and you need to be in a position as SASCO to be the one that says, we can't recognize you because you have not achieved these milestones. And it means even milestones with regard to transformation. And the transformation, you cut it into pieces, and color is also there. We are not going to leave it. We are not going to leave it, because we need to ensure that this country is transformed. People that were disadvantaged as well, they need to stand up and come proud that we can have access to any sport. Even if I don't have money, but I've got access to any sport that I want to play. So that is my take on this question. And we are not going to change. In terms of the way forward is that we need to ensure that we call EPG. When EPG accounts to the minister, but so far, in terms of where we are, it's 5 federations. We know that 11 more federations were supposed to have signed. So we need to see what is it that they have committed so that we can track whether they are achieving that. And for me, I expect the SASCO to assist us in terms of whether some federations that are not complying, whether we need to continue recognizing them or not. Thank you.
Honorable members, sometimes in the committee I've said these words in Xhosa, it's having another meaning that honorable members, they are raising their hands later on, and there's a word in Xhosa which some other are interpreting wrong, and then they are saying, I must not say. So I have noted hands, and now God's honorable Radokom address us. He's got his own right. So now I'm seeing hands up. We've called you here to assist and brief us your understanding. We do understand that Uminisa is a champion, but as Sasco, as I was saying, we think that by this time you can tell it as that. You know, in this request, they are still far from what EPG is saying. And then also, as was stated here, last week in the committee, we proposed this information will assist that we must have a way of doing oversight, because we're not happy. We're set in this committee 21 years down the line. There's no transformation in sport. We're still maintaining. But we're set. Now it's getting to the presentation or contribution of the workshop. We said, as this committee, we need, when we're doing the strategy, have a point on transformation in order that we must be agreed or not agreed upon ourselves if we don't understand what does it mean. So I will allow you, honorable members, but I'm looking at the time. This is 2:30, and we have a president who serves a detail when he's answering. So now, in members, they are getting to that workshop of ours. Maybe you made us to do that, because you didn't give us clearly what is your observation since 2015, April, until now. I cannot not to give you members, because this is your meeting. Honorable Manana, Honorable Fultan, thanks to come back. Honorable Modeke, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. You used to say, as a new committee, we are no longer new here. We are no longer new here, Chairperson. because we can do our own research and bring it on the table, and we are expecting some answers on that. We're going to be happy to hear from the horse's mouth. Like this, this thing is a of transformation, the EPG, with my own understanding. I can see the EPG has done its work. It's a matter of implementing some of that change in transformation. When I look at the briefing on steps taken regarding the match fixing chapter on the cricket, I think the same measures were supposed to be taken, like in the cricket SA, the SA former CEO, what they did before. They know what they did. So they were supposed to take some measures on that. When I look at I look at the presentation that they've got these five bullets on the update. They've appealed to SAR not to play this out of media. That's their update. But when I look at the SARU, the position of SARS-CoV on the SARU CEO in involvement in the misappropriation of that amount. I'm not going to quote the amount because it's too much. While at the University of Stellenbosch, it has seen some there are these, I don't know where they are doing the hide and seek, hiding some information to our people to get a KPMG forensic report. So I think the SARS-CoV must assist on that so that the media, I can say, the media must not bring something that is not there. They must not mislead people. So that we get the information from you, then the media don't mislead people over it. And when I look at the SARS-CoV acted swiftly against, because the late Leonard Twain of Agri South Africa and Gerald Majora of African South Africa. But on this jury rule of SAR with the same allegation, no, they have said, they late say, So the SAR, these are the same allegation. I think you need to act on that. I can see your presentation that we are still waiting for the investigation. So I think you don't have to be quiet, especially on the SARU acting. I mean the appointment of the new coach. I think you must intervene on that because that is the interest of the transformation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, I've listened to the presentation by Chair about transformation and vis-a-vis the mandate of the SARS-CoV. I'm not sure the SARS-CoV really has got teeth to enforce. I'm subject to correction. Thanks, the President took us through the mandate of SARS-CoV when the meeting started. I doubt SARS-CoV has got the teeth to enforce. But there's something else that I want to raise. Particularly in the sphere of rugby, you get lately a lot of SA players who get lured by mega bucks to go and play in Japan and Europe. Now, this creates, in a sense, a false vacuum for more players of color to come to the fore. How are you looking at that situation, Ms. Basco? Understanding that you may not be having the gift to enforce anything, I repeat, I'm subject to correction, just basing this on the money that you kindly, took us through by way of revision. Sorry. How do you look at that? Is it a positive mode for the players of color to get an opportunity? Or is it by accident that more players of color could now get slotted into the upper echelons of SA rugby? I've tried to exercise my mind on it, But I said, you know, from my perspective, I've got my own opinion about what's happening, and I wish to play stuff out. But how do you look at it, Sasko? Because what I understand about sports is that no matter how much you level the playing field, sports thrives on one thing, uno, competitiveness. You may level the playing field as much as you want. If you're not competitive and you're not sacrificing, you're just not going to get, you know, to the top. How do you work your way through and still ensuring that there is what I would rather call developmental transformation rather than just transformation? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let us take on this issue of transformation. You know, some of us here and out there, we trying to put a nice paint on this issue of transformation. No, it's not about color. No, it's not about this. So, you know, the day the kids and the athletes that are playing with barefoot, the kids from Lolo Mountain in the poor village, around Kukune, from Sikisiki in Owatambo. You see, the kids from deep in Nonochi in KwaZulu-Natal, they know what is hockey. If they do, you can say there is transformation in South Africa. But as long as those expensive and luxurious boots are played by certain people, and some other people, majority, not just a few, majority of people, they don't even know what hockey is. They don't even know what are the apparatus or the equipment to be used for that. They don't even know what is the detail for the tennis. It looks like, you know, we are not yet transformed and we are still playing. You know why I'm so emotional about these things? It's because I'm emotional because we're talking sensitive things here. The thing is, 22 years down the line, we are in democracy. But today, we're still talking of some regions, not just villages, some regions where they don't even know what a tennis ball looks like. 22 years down the line. Why? Because somebody have resisted transformation. And somebody have bowed to the pressure of resistance. That's why we are here, where we are today. Somebody has resisted and somebody has agreed to the pressure of resistance. That's why we are here, where we are today. So the question, my question is coming to the number, it's attached to the last line there. As I spoke, you are saying you are urging the federations to cooperate with the EPG process in a serious way. What are you going to do if they don't do? Because in the previous 22 years, some federations or some sporting codes had never been to transform. That's the reason why we are like this even today in South Africa. What are you going to do if they don't do that? Because we know for a fact that some are not going to do that because they think we want to be like them, whereas they want to remain better than us. Thank you very much.
So, I think we agree that now they are
and then the support will respond to some of the comments. I think if you agree that they can respond, then
thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Members, I think I'm going to respond to the last question. I think, Chair, if I may just give the background to the EPG, I think all federations in the country gave the Minister and my President a mandate to transform sport in the country. It is for the same reason that there was a document that was produced by EPG, and there were also resolutions that were taken on transformation. I think what has not been said is after we have analyzed the transformation parameters and the non-compliance, I think in the resolutions, among others, there is a remedy. And one of the remedies is the Ministry of Sport might deregister a federation that is not compliant. And also, SASCO could do the same. I mean, if federations are not complying and the process has unfolded and we have managed to analyze the parameters, we have the full right as SASCO to refuse membership. So it's not that we will not do anything. But unfortunately, in 2011, it was the only time that the minister brought us together and EPG was born. And the first meeting took place in 2011. So we are, I think, getting there, and the commitment from the country, and as SASCO, we are supporting that. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
You know, I didn't want to talk at length about the EPG, but Honorable Members, you have called the Minister and the EPG. You know where the EPG resides. It resides in the ministry. What we get, and I would accede that maybe what we should have done is to give you the last set of reports that we got. And it may be old reports, because I can't remember getting new reports from the last set of reports that we brought here. In other words, the EPG, we are co-signatories to this process. Alright? So what happens is that after they have sat down, ministry and EPG, they will then report to SASCO and say, your federation, your children are not doing A, B, C, D, and these are the people. And then we deal with it. So our shortcoming in this report is probably we should have brought the old report, because there's no new report now. Update on what you got last time. There's no update on what has happened with this. So what I would suggest is we'll go back and it will come as an addendum to this committee as to, okay, can EPG, can you give us an update as to what has happened to our children? We don't have a new report. We have an old report on that. Yes, let us accept. We probably have to interrogate the constitution that made SASCO possible. You're quite correct. No, we don't have the deed that you think they have. We can go up to a certain level, and then we must upscale it to the ministry. Let's say we've got a problem with the federation. The federation, we will then see what is happening, and I'm sure all of you are saying that about this rugby thing has been going backwards and forwards and so on. What we should be getting is when the minister says, I have met with them. You have pointed it out to me? Yes. Now I have met with them and this is what they are saying, and I am proposing the following. And then we act on that. So somehow we need to look at how do we jump the minister in terms of action. Because in the absence of that, we remain to a large extent useless. And what the honorable members will say is that, yeah, when it comes to the smaller ones, you hit them with a huge hammer. When it comes to the big ones, you sort of dilly-dally. And that is true. It is like that. So, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves and say, how far do we go? Because when we fight a battle, it's a rightly said, honorable member, let's think of the logo. Look at the cricket. After fighting for so many years, guys, that is not the country's logo. With the badge on top. Then they said, okay, we'll keep it on the helmet, we'll keep it on the training gear, and okay, maybe sometimes, not on the shirt, we take it off. The moment we hit them again, everyone in this country said, hey, everybody, no other job but to chase federation. And that to me is a problem of SASCO. As to how, you know, we put our foot down and fight, and up to a point that people say, oh, come on, what's wrong with you? Are you not supposed to promote sport? You're killing sport. Cricket, I can tell you now, was fought up to the bitter end. And we said, yeah, but that is not the logo. And the possible member is correct. If we fail in those little things, then we're not going to get anywhere with transformation. People are resisting. I took note of the comment here. Yes, that is a resistance. And the biggest reason for resistance is what they will say then. You know, Sasko, we've got a problem with you. You want us to do A, B, C, and D. You don't even give us a cent. This is our money. Then you look at this and say, what on earth are we busy with here? So there are quite a number of things, and I think, as you rightly say, 22 years down the line in democracy now, perhaps we have to find a way in which we put our foot down and we say, this is where we're going. But yes, in terms of how much we can do, we have to think about that. Secondly, EPG. Remember, this was a transformation process that was started by Sasko. It was then taken into the department with the appointment of their team, comprising of the doctor and Philippe. And so they interact with our federation. Our responsibility is support our federation when they say, but we think these requirements are just too much. And we know that Rabbi came to us. Rabbi said, we don't agree with these outcomes here. So, you know, some of those, and then we sit down and go back to the EPG and say, our Rabbi people are not happy with these results. You did not check properly. You have not checked in that province and you have not checked in that province. So that's our role as far as the EPG. That's why, if you look at it, but I'm promising this, the honorable members here, we will ask from the EPG the latest in terms of the five and the others that make up your 11. Okay.
Thank you, President. We left with 5 minutes to go for a lunch and some other meetings with some of us. Let me take this opportunity saying that thank you very much to take all our punches. It's not because we do want to fight with you. We want transformation is hot, and we're thinking that we are one of us who can assist that. We must see the transformation is hot being given that task that we are having. So if maybe we're too harsh, it's because that do have passionate about sports like we are saying. So in this community, everyone wants to see something happening, and I can assure you every now and then we are saying transformation. So with those words, we do have information where we think that we are lacking, we still want more. We'll ask the office to write to Sasko to get information that we are thinking that we still need before we call you. We'll always call you when we need you or have the mandate of doing that. So I didn't see anything wrong today that members were doing. They wanted information from Sasko. By those words, we are hoping that these EPG processes were going to be together. We did hear and listen to the minister in the air communicating and giving the assurance even in the committee that he is going to take his steps in this federation. We are hoping that you follow suit to assist the minister and our good self, because we want to do the oversight vigorously on the transformation of sport. With those words, we are thanking you so much, hoping that you did hear my mandate from the committee that irrespective of cutting off everything in the country, we are saying we want you to take even of that three of us. With the department, no one can go and do the oversight yourself. We have discussed you during your absence saying that can you afford in your fundraising that you must count us with those words. Like, we do thank you. Once I'm not sure whether we'll be having your permission, because I don't know about the dates. We're going for local government. We've been cautioned that no trips that must be taken. So, if we do, some of us know the date, we'll be sure that if it's such a date, no committee must take any abroad trip. So, if the election is going to be early August, want to be with yourselves. I thank you.
Madam Chair, members, we are happy with the interrogation. We become stronger when people ask the questions. Whether it's emotional or not emotional, yes, we love that. And we will go away knowing that there are certain issues, because if you brush us, it's not going to help us, nor is it going to help you. You have to be, I've taken note of that, the rural area, it is close to my heart because the relationship, now I'm from that rural area, and I really, when I look at the kids walking around there, and I say to myself, what has happened in my village? So all of us must have that concern in terms of what is happening in the rural area. But I can assure you that I'm not talking about the health, but the Lotto is giving out a lot of equipment in the various areas in our country. Each of the provinces are getting. All we need to do is to assist our people there to apply those, and the message must go to our teachers. So thank you very much, Madam Chair and honorable members. It's been a real pleasure for us to be here, and we want to come back again. We'll be back. As they say in the films, we'll be back.
Thank you, Honorable President. You may excuse, the only thing that is in our agenda is consideration of the minutes that they were, give me a chance, that they were circulated in our emails, and they were just short to brief. My whip is proposing that let's deal with the minutes in next meeting. Are you supporting that? Okay. Thank you, President. The meeting has adjourned.